This is a podcast from WILL AM 580. To support our station, please visit www.willpledge.org. That's www.willpledge.org.
This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Tuesday, November 20th. I'm Tom Rogers. Coming up, we'll tell you about a recent vote on the Western Illinois University campus that prefaced the presidential elections of next year. We'll also get a forecast for the upcoming holiday weekend from AM 580 meteorologist Ed Keyser. First, a look at today's news. Illinois Governor Rob Blagojevich has called a special session of the General Assembly next week in Springfield. Its purpose is to resolve the funding crisis with mass transit. Mike Rhee has more.
Governor Blagojevich says lawmakers have to come up with new funding for the CTA, Metra, and PACE. All three agencies have scheduled cuts in service and fare hikes for next year. The governor says despite two emergency bailouts for the CTA, legislators aren't acting.
Therefore, I think it's incumbent upon us to get everybody down to Springfield next Wednesday, well after the Thanksgiving holiday, and hopefully we can get a solution that is long-term lasting and fair to the people.
Blagojevich says he remains opposed to a sales tax hike in the region. He instead says he favors a proposal to use sales taxes from gasoline in the area. The governor last called a special session to deal with mass transit in August. His meeting in Chicago last week with legislators and Mayor Richard Daley also produced no results. I'm Mike Rhee.
State Representative Bill Black says he doesn't think the special session will produce a mass transit funding solution. In fact, he's not sure it'll even be able to attract a quorum. The Republican from Danville says he could support an earlier proposal to raise Chicago-area sales taxes to fund the CTA and other transit agencies, but Blagojevich says he'll veto any tax hike. And with no other legislative proposal ready at this point, Black says he doesn't see the point of meeting.
What are we going to do? Just go over there and scratch our head at the cost of $150,000 a day with no real plan and no real agreement? I think it's silly to call us over into special session. But he likes to do it. But he's done it so often, it has almost the opposite and reverse effect that he wants at this point.
Mahomet Republican Chapin Rose also says he doubts the special session will produce a solution. He says he'd like to see mass transit in Chicago tied to downstate road construction. Calls to area Democratic representatives and senators were not returned. Illinois lawmakers are also fuming after Governor Blagojevich chose to expand a state health care program without legislative approval. Sean Crawford has that story.
The General Assembly rejected the governor's proposal earlier this year. Then he tried to get a state panel to approve the rules. That also failed. Blagojevich now says he'll expand the family care program to cover at least 150,000 more people, whether the legislature gives its okay or not. That's not sitting well with many lawmakers. Randy Holtgren is a Wheaton Republican senator. He's on the panel that turned down the governor last week. He agrees there's a health care crisis, but says Blagojevich has made the issue too political.
That's the frustration. Again, it feels like this is the people who are struggling with health care issues are being used as a pawn.
Holtgren says he's unsure what will happen next. He says there's always the possibility of the legislature taking the governor to court, but nothing will be decided until lawmakers return to the Capitol for a special session next week. I'm Sean Crawford.
A Champaign Central High School student accused of displaying a gun on school grounds made a first court appearance yesterday. 17-year-old Kevin Cooper has pleaded not guilty to charges of unlawful use of a firearm on school grounds and disorderly conduct. School officials say Cooper brought a loaded pistol to school Thursday and showed it to another student with the intent of selling it. Unit 4's Director of Secondary Education, Judy Wiegand, says through other students, a parent later became aware of that weapon.
Certainly quite concerned and notified the school first thing Friday morning that she was not going to send her student to school because of the situation. And the school, along with the police, acted quickly in getting all this information, and the police met the student prior to him coming onto campus Friday morning.
Although a gun hasn't been recovered, police say there was probable cause to charge Cooper and that they have information based on eyewitness accounts. They continue to search the grounds for the weapon. Cooper's free on bond and will make his next court appearance next month. A former Urbana man faces first-degree murder charges in the death of his girlfriend. 41-year-old Curtis Collins is in custody in Sioux City, Iowa. He's accused in the drowning death of Heather Muntean. On May 16th, the 30-year-old woman's body was discovered in Boneyard Creek in downtown Urbana. Collins initially reported finding Muntean's body, but Champaign County State's Attorney Julia Reitz says he later admitted having a relationship with the woman. Reed says Collins then provided a statement describing the circumstances of Muntean's death.
Analyze his statement compared to the physical layout of the scene and the injuries on her body and the cause of death to determine whether it was possible physically that his story could have happened or how her death could have occurred. And based on that, then, on that analysis, we obtained a warrant for his arrest and filed charges.
Reed says the investigation has taken some time as authorities brought in a forensic examiner to determine the extent of injuries. A biomechanics expert was used to analyze the scene of the crime. Collins has yet to make a court appearance in Iowa, which will have to occur before he can be extradited back to Champaign County. He's being held on $500,000 bond. Clerical workers on the University of Illinois campus and at county extension offices across the state vote today on a tentative contract agreement. Negotiators for the U of I and the American Federation of State, County, and Municipal Employees reached the tentative agreement earlier this month after several months of talks. The university had said it had to wait until this year's budget was finalized before they could discuss financial issues. The contract would cover hundreds of secretaries and other clerical employees. The contract's terms won't be released until after ratification. A Champaign County board member is stepping down because of a change in employment. Republican Scott Tapley will leave after a 13-year career as one of the board's most high-profile conservative members. Tapley says on a political blog he's moving to take an investment job in Indiana. He says he'll remain active in a lawsuit that he and other Southwest Champaign residents filed against the Champaign-Urbana Mass Transit District over annexation. For the latest newscast online, go to will.illinois.edu/news. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Tom Rogers. The Iowa caucuses are still 2 months away, and the presidential election won't take place for another year. But some college students have already cast ballots, in a way. They did so in a large mock election recently titled The Road to the White House Begins at Western Illinois University. Illinois Public Radio's Rich Egger tells us about the mock election and who won.
It usually takes a kegger or an appearance by a popular comedian to draw a big crowd of WIU students, but for a few nights, more than 1,000 students came together to talk about political parties. Red, white, and blue balloons, bunting, and standards decorated the University Union Grand Ballroom. A large stage with a podium dominated the front and center area. Overhead, a huge video screen relayed images and information from the room. Bloggers posted their thoughts, and a crew of student TV reporters broadcast live under bright lights. Jacob Lower added to the ambience at the Republican nominating convention. The 6'2" freshman wore a stovepipe hat, a beard, and a long black overcoat. He looked quite a bit like Abraham Lincoln, though the high fives he shared with audience members did not seem especially Lincoln-esque. Lower admitted to being different from Lincoln in another way, too.
Me, actually, I'm a Democrat.
The mock election simulated the caucuses and primaries, the nominating conventions, and ultimately the presidential election. Even students who won't vote next November got to take part.
It was a good experience, and I'm glad that I was a part of it.
Natasha Blake is an exchange student from England. The sophomore is in Macomb for just one semester and really enjoyed the Democratic convention. Her favorite candidate is Barack Obama.
I just liked because he's like new, fresh, got loads of ideas, much more seems like a people person, and I think he could definitely do a lot in the future.
The brains behind the mock election are Political Science Department Chair Rick Hardy and Associate Professor John Hemingway of the Recreation Park and Tourism Administration Department. They met at the University of Iowa in the mid-70s, where they conducted their first mock presidential election in 1976. Hardy did another one at the University of Missouri in 88. They hope to bring in candidates to speak at Western, but the front-loaded primary schedule forced those running to spend their time, energy, and money in the early election states. Still, Hardy and Hemingway feel they achieved the goal of increasing civic awareness and enhancing participation. Hardy is especially pleased with the effort students put into debating party platforms.
I liken it to playing a game of cards. I could tell you the rules and it wouldn't mean anything. I'll deal you the hand and let you play a hand or two, and pretty soon you start catching on to it, and then it becomes fun. And and that's what this is about.
Mamaki Lakshan was moved to Western Hall for the final night. The basketball arena was decked out much like the Grand Ballroom, and a couple thousand students showed up, a bigger crowd than the school's basketball teams often attract. Some of those students say they will now pay more attention to the presidential campaigns during the next year.
Just because now I'm kind of interested to see what will actually happen.
Yeah, it's increased my interest a lot. Being able to go to all these different ones, it's really shed some light on what they stand for.
It's gotten me more interested and involved now that I know kind of how the process works. Before, it kind of seemed like a lot to me and I didn't really understand. Now that I have a better understanding, I think I will be paying more attention to how the actual race goes.
Natasha Blake will also be watching after she heads back home to England.
Just really looking out to see who wins, what the candidates' campaigns are like, what sort of things that they make Pacific nearer the time, things like that really.
The winner of the simulated election, in a landslide, was the mock ticket chosen by Democrats, Barack Obama for president and John Edwards for vice president. One other note, in both 1976 and 88, the winner of the mock election ended up winning the real election. Rich Egger reporting.
Unseasonably warm weather we'll be feeling today across Illinois and Indiana won't last for very long, according to our meteorologist Ed Kieser. The forecast for today look for fog and drizzle in the far northern parts of the two states this morning, followed by a few scattered light showers in the afternoon. Elsewhere in Illinois and Indiana, a mix of clouds and hazy sun and unseasonably mild. Highs today from around 50 in far northwest Illinois to 73 in the south. We could hit 70 in Champaign-Urbana. For tonight, in northern and west central Illinois, cloudy with periods of rain. In northern Indiana and east central and central Illinois, cloudy with showers and isolated thunderstorms tonight, most numerous after midnight. In central Indiana and the south, mostly cloudy and mild with a chance of a few showers toward daybreak. Lows from 35 in the far northwest to 58 in the south. Champaign-Urbana's low of around 50. For tomorrow, in northern Illinois, cloudy, windy, and cool with scattered showers. Elsewhere, cloudy with periods of rain again and some scattered thunderstorms in the south. The high is from only 38 degrees in northwest Illinois to 68 in the south. Champaign-Urbana will see a morning high of around 50, and temperatures will fall through the 40s tomorrow during the course of the day. Thursday, mostly cloudy with flurries and a high of only 36. Friday, mostly sunny and a high of 39. This has been the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Tuesday, November 20th. You can find podcasts of Focus 580, the afternoon magazine, agricultural programming, and other helpful information at our website, will.illinois.edu. I'm Tom Rogers, AM 580 News.